the Rob Brown Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Spectacular to have you with us. I am Rob Brown, the Grip and Lonzo, and the ones and twos of this lovely upstate Friday morning. Listen, I know there's still a lot to be done. Patience, patience, patience. We will make it out of the other side of this. I promise. We'll all have our power turned back on.
Every time I play the Friday sound, I feel like I'm lying.
I mean, listen, I think it is important.
No, and I don't have to get up early tomorrow, but I'm not going to sleep tonight if I don't have power, so it doesn't really matter, I guess. I could go out on the town. I could do that. Go out on the town. My going out on the town totally different than yours.
I'm just saying, I can arrange a Friday night out on the town for the boys.
No, man, I can go to the pinball museum, hang out there for a while, play some games.
How's that not part of my going out on the town?
Okay.
Now, I would call that pre-gaming.
You would. So my night would end quicker than yours, but, you know.
Lonzo would like an early evening out on the town.
Oh, no, I'm out till 10 last night. So, I mean, you know, I can go 11. I can do that. Maybe 12, depending on what we're doing.
Let's not get crazy.
Now, someone else may need to drive home after 12 because I'll be pretty sleepy, especially after not sleeping last night and then getting up early.
I Uber home all the time. Just.
Yeah. You don't have to go as far as I do.
Oh, that's not the difference. Hey, it's 8 o'clock. Let's get to the audio blitz. Some of the best audio that we have picked up from around the social media world. Let's start with this. I am conflicted about how I feel about this answer from brand new Los Angeles Lakers head coach and former Duke Blue Devil, J.J. Redick, was asked a question about one of his now Laker players, Rui Hachimura.
Forward to the conflict with you all this year because of him and how he handles the media. And when he got hired, that's the first thing I thought. How much are you going to be on JJ's side? How much are you going to be on the other side? Because this is what he's going to do every single time. He's just doing Popovich. He's doing Belichick, but with a better vocabulary.
So I want to say this. I'm almost a little bit surprised in myself. Because I have said for a long time, I know that there are always going to be some coaches, players, whatever, that are hostile to the media. And to me, as we talked about earlier in the show, regarding the NFL policy that's going to drop probably today about limiting reporters' access to the locker room, which, by the way, I'm on board with, so that we're clear. I do think that there is some level of responsibility by coaches and players to interact with the media, as much as they may not want to, because the media is the forward face of the fan, okay? Hey, you don't have to like everybody in said media, but at the end of the day, it is the media that communicates from the players to the fans, and for many of them, from the fans back to the players. So I think there is some level of responsibility of interaction. That being said, I kind of don't have a problem with this answer from JJ. And I think the answer, I think the reason why is because I understand the control of the situation that he is trying to take here, right? He said, look, the journalist said, how do you get Rui Hachimura to take that next step? And JJ asked here's my thing. Fair question. What is the next step? Because, like, I don't know, you're the coach, you're telling me. No. You're the one trying to create a narrative here that Rui Hachimura needs to take a next step. So you tell me what that next step is. And I'll be honest with you. I really do not have an issue with that response from J.J. Redick because I think it's fair. This is something that I've said for a very long time. As a fan, it's not my job to figure out what's wrong with the team. I'm not getting paid for that. And the comparison I've always made is, if I go to a steakhouse and I pay $45 for a steak and that steak comes out poorly cooked and I say to the waiter, this steak's bad, the waiter should not say to me, well, then how would you cook it? No. I don't need to be a Michelin star chef to know that the food you just gave me ain't good, right? I don't need to be a basketball coach to be able to say the Lakers are broken right now and they need to get fixed. However, if a media member is going to say, oh, this player needs to take that next step, what's that mean? And I think JJ asking the media member, okay, what's that mean? You're the one. If you say he needs to take the next step, to me it makes it sound like you know what that next step needs to be. That's different than saying the team's bad, fix it. So I agree with Lonzo about me. I'm almost a little bit surprised here. But as I've said many times in the past, there is a difference between asking a critical question and being hostile. Those two can coincide, but they do not always coincide. This is something I have had as a person to learn in my life, is that it is okay to ask questions that may seem uncomfortable, but they're questions that need to be asked. And that when people ask me a question, they are not always doing it with the intent to injure, to be malicious. Sometimes they are asking because it's a fair question that needs to be asked, even if it's uncomfortable.
All right. To a degree, he is conditioning the media to come with better questions unless they like that answer, because that answer, not really heated, but as far as him, it makes it sound like he's coming after the reporter, which he's absolutely right. I don't have a problem with what he said to him.
I don't either.
But so now, from going forward, the reporters are going to have to think a little bit more. When I have a conversation with someone in this building, I have to think about how I say things so that person will not correct me, because it hurts me when he does it, because I feel lesser because I'm not smart enough. I think that report, he's conditioning the reporters to say, hey, you're going to ask me a question. This is what you're going to get in return. So come with a better question. Don't follow the questions that everybody else is going to ask. Come up with a good question.
I think it's fair. Now, if that reporter really wants to get at JJ Redick, what do? You go home and you figure out what you think the next step is for Rui Hachimura. And then you come back with that question. If you think Hachimura needs to be more involved with the inside game, right? He needs to be more of a possession player in the paint. He needs more touches down low. Come with that. JJ Redick, the next step for Rui Hachimura, who on his Olympic team did this, that, and the other, I think for the Lakers, he should be more of a presence on the inside. How do you address that? Now he's got to talk basketball. Now you're actually asking about basketball stuff as opposed to abstract outside concepts that JJ Redick may or may not even agree with. He may look at you and go, I think he's fine.
But at the same time, when forming your question, you need to be concise and not go into too much detail, because then he can go, you just answer the question.
Again, and I think that's okay. That would be an answer, right? But I think if he does this, I agree with you. You know what it does? And this is something that I have taken pride in. When I ask a coach a question, I ask the X's and the O's, not the abstract. I'm not going to ask, how do you get so and so more involved? I would rather say, hey, in this next game, their starting safety has the fourth most yards surrendered on the post. Is that something you look to work into the game plan? Give them an X's and O's to latch onto, as opposed to some abstract concept that allows a coach like JJ Redick to do this and basically dismiss you.
When we have wrestlers on, we try to ask them questions that other people aren't asking them. And sometimes questions are so off the wall, they just look and go, what? And the other times, they're caught off guard because they're standard answers, because everyone's asking the same questions. I think that's a good thing. Ask a different question.
It is one thing to say, how do you win this game? And another thing to say, the so-and-sos are weakest at this point. Is that what you're going to dial in on? Like, let them talk X's and O's. I like that. Bill O'Brien, head coach of Boston College, former offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, was on Wes Welker's podcast earlier this week, and he told the story.
Here's how lack of sleep is. I thought you said Bill O'Reilly.
No,
that's why you see my head go like, what?
Well, do it live! No, Bill O'Brien, who is a very different person, was on Wes Welker's pod and told a story about Rob Gronkowski's pre-draft interview with the Patriots. That's my favorite thing. They took my man. They taught him a play. He got it 20% right. He got the S and the I right out of the word he was supposed to say there. And then his response to that high-pressure situation was, go take a nap. I just got to lay down. Just got to go lay down.
This is more proof when he says he doesn't really run plays or what, he just goes out and does what he wants. When he jokes about that, he's not joking. He has no idea what the plays were.
I mean, maybe. He scored a lot of touchdowns that way.
Well, he knew.
Can you get mad at him when he scores a lot of touchdowns?
He knew how to get open, and he had a good rapport with his quarterback, so that helped. But, you know, and that will let you get away with not knowing the plays.
That's also true. I do have another one. I don't know how much of this I'm going to be able to get through because it's a bit of a longer clip. In fact, you know what we'll do? We'll hold up it just in case we need to pause it at certain spots. Rob Gronkowski is the newest member of the Fox Sports NFL Countdown crew, right? Like, he's on their pregame, halftime shows, whatever. Well, Gronk in his rookie year, you got to haze the rook a little bit, right? The Fox crew played a prank on Gronk. Dig this segment that they did, and they just revealed it this past weekend. All right. Now, that's pretty good. All right. Let me ask you guys out there in Radio Land, what do you think about Rich Russo? What do you think about Dallas tight end Rich Russo? They put Gronk on the spot about Dallas tight end Rich Russo and asked for his analysis. What do you think about tight end Rich Russo? Lonzo, you got any thoughts on Dallas tight end Rich Russo?
I'm guessing that's not a person.
They hit my guy, asked him for analysis of a player that does not exist as a human being or football player, specifically the Dallas Cowboys tight end. And I do want to point out that Gronk correctly said, you got to lean on Tony Ferguson. He's the guy. He's the man. He's your dog. He's been the man the whole time. You got to go to T-Ferg. He was right about that. He did his best not to he didn't want to go in and make up a bunch of stuff about Rich Russo, who didn't know who he was. He just said, Tony Ferguson's your guy. You got to go with T-Ferg. You say what you want about Gronk. Handled that like a professional.
All right, so I thought he did a real good job, but I think the rest of the crew did an amazing job, especially when Terry threw in the two fingers missing. Because I wonder if they knew Terry was going, and they just kept going. I mean, you and I could do this. There are some other people who could do this who just go with something like that for maybe an hour before we let it break that we were just making it up. It takes chemistry, and those guys have been together for a really long time. The fact that they were just boom, back and forth, just hitting that. And you know they didn't practice that. They probably said, we're going to do this, and that was it. And then they ad-libbed the rest of it. And it was really good, and it proves that Gronk's a little bit better than I thought he was.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. T-Ferg. No. You don't go to Rich Russo. You go to T-Ferg. Texter says Gronk's face the entire video. He was just like, here goes nothing. When they came to him, because he's standing in between the boys, right? They're like, hey, what are you? Rich Russo's coming back. You know, they're going to work him into the game plan. And you see Gronk, like, entering the deepest, darkest corners of his brain, trying to get anything about Rich Russo. He gets nada, and he's just got that blank face like he just got asked to solve a calculus equation in real time. But what does he do? Handles it like a pro. I don't know what you're asking me about, so I'm going to talk about something else completely unrelated that I do. I'm going to go over here and talk about Tony Ferguson. Like a damn professional, get off Gronk. My man handled that with grace and finesse. Spectacular, Gronk. All right, I got a few more clips that I want to play for you, so we will extend the audio blitz into the next segment. Then at 8:40, Chris Miller, the Tom Brady of local sports radio, and the pre- and post-game voice of the South Carolina Gamecocks joins us here on the show to talk Gamecocks v. Rebels. That's coming up at the end of this hour on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Let's keep going with the audio blitz. Some of our favorite audio that we've heard. Short one here, and then we got Chris Miller, voice of the Gamecocks pre- and post-game show, coming up in the next segment to talk Gamecocks v. Ole Miss with us. Peyton Thorne is the quarterback of the Auburn Tigers. He was on the Next Round Live podcast. Was asked about the pick six that he threw against Oklahoma. If you didn't see that game, really, really good one. They had the Sooners' backs against the wall until late in the game when Peyton Thorne threw a pass over the middle to the right-hand side that was picked off and taken back for six the other way. They asked Peyton Thorne to take us there, and here's how he laid it out. He said, once again, forgetting to change the channels back.
I think those should count.
On his screen.
I think those should count as Mike.
No, no. Only if you want me to start sending you these clips to be in charge of every show.
Which is my job, and I absolutely could do that. It takes away from, yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to push play.
No.
I'm not that rude.
Well, that counts
Shut
too.
Shut up, Lonzo. Listen to Peyton Thorne. I was joking about that, too. Can I tell you, in fact, I told somebody the other day that one of the premises of this radio broadcast is I want it to be for everybody. I want it to be from the hardcorest dork nerds out there like me all the way down to people who aren't sports fans or just like casually adjacent to sports, right? Like somebody who's maybe like married to a sports fan or their kids are into it. I want everybody to be welcome on this broadcast, and there's a little bit of something for everybody. I am going to say, to listen to a quarterback lay that out, talk about playing against the zero technique with 6-on-5 and worrying about the boundary end on the far side and rolling coverage to the outside, recognizing that it was an attack, but they disguised it by hitting the line and dropping off. Like, I love hearing a football nerd talk about football and break it down that way, because while I have always said that one of the things that I like to do is be able to take football or sports from the mindset of somebody who loves the game, knows the game, whatever, and be able to put it in a way that even those that are casual around the game get it, understand it, learn about it. I feel that way about dudes who like freaking no ball, breaking it down to me in a way that maybe I see it. Now, I can recognize that.
You're the only one I know who would talk that way. I don't, and all the sports fans I know, they do not do all that stuff like you do. And like that guy just did. They don't. They just, all right, the quarterback got the ball. The receiver was open. He threw it to him. He scored a touchdown.
Yeah, but like, don't you like to know why? You don't care about why?
Not to.
You're just like, oh, he throw, he catch, he run, he score. Like,
yep.
That's it?
Thank you for describing me as Frankenstein, Tonto. And who was the other one? That was Tonto, Frankenstein, and...
Mongo!
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, maybe. But anyway, so...
Mongo just pawn in Game of Show.
No, I'm talking about there was a Saturday Night Live skit where it was Frankenstein, Tonto, and somebody else. I can't remember who the third one was. And so they all talked that way, so everything was broken down that way. And I believe one of them was a lawyer. So that's what made it funny.
Was it Caveman Lawyer?
Maybe it was. Maybe it was Caveman
Lawyer. Was
maybe
a great
it was
one.
Maybe it was Caveman, Frankenstein, and Tonto. Maybe that's what it was. But anyway...
Tarzan.
Oh, was it Tarzan? Okay, there we go. So that's how you think of me. Where I think of you is. So I mean, there's that. There's an in between there. There's an in between there where I actually do exist. But when you go too far to that direction, my eyes, like I believe many, just glaze over and like, dude, okay, all right. I mean, simplify. You need to do all that.
See, I think that's our job to me. Like, our job is to take the info from Peyton Thorne, simplify it down to where we can then pass it on to the casuals.
Info. I could rock an info.
You could. I love hearing football nerds talk about football. I loved it. I sat there.
Dude, that sounded like it took 10 minutes. That is the longest clip you played
today.
That was
twice as short as the Gronk clip.
That was half
of the Gronk clip.
I would rather hear Gronk talk about anything than hear that
69.
Clip again.
69.
No, at least you know what? There's some emotion behind that. My dude was so flat in everything he said. I mean, put some inflection in there. Put a little bit in there. Maybe you can tell where it's like...
Okay, now in fairness, you did
like,
just...
It's
you
like,
did
I'm sorry.
Just...
It's like a lot of Southern gospel songs. You could go from one song into the next one, and I have no idea. Is that all one song? We just went 25 minutes. Was that one song? It's the same sort of thing.
You did just ask the guy to diagnose a mistake he made that cost his team a major game. Like, I don't expect him to be like, all right, dudes,
No, you're missing the point. You couldn't have negative emotion in there. He just lost the game like, man, and then this happened, and I thought that I could do this, and then—
That's what he did.
No.
That's what he did.
Then what I did was...
They brought the boundary edge in a zero technique. They had the linebackers walked up.
The G and the H and the I and the J. And then I threw to the K, but I missed the K. And so the L picked it up and ran the other way. So I'm really sorry. I made a mistake.
Okay, only two of those were real things. All right? Only two of those were real things. I thought it was phenomenal. I loved it. All right, I got a few more clips to play, but... More importantly, Chris Miller, the voice of the Gamecocks pre- and post-game show, joins us in the next segment. We're going to talk Gamecocks.
He will not sound like that last guy either.
I'll bet you I can get him to.
Because he's the number one sportscaster in the state of South Carolina. He's going to have a little bit of something in there. And just that was not a dig.
Wow.
That was not. I would never do such a thing because I know how hurtful it is that you're number two. And so I would never do that.
Okay. All right.
Especially to the...
Being
one of the hosts of the number one sports show in the state of South Carolina.
We're just being openly hostile now. Just because I said I like listening to quarterbacks talk about quarterbacking.
No, if we were being openly hostile, I'd be jump scaring you.
Chris Miller joins us next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Getting down on Friday, indeed. Yeah, we're digging out. Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. Yes, I know there's a lot going on. But the sun comes up, and sometimes you need a break. You need a minute. And if Lonzo and I can be that brief distraction, that respite from what work needs to be done, we're going to do our best, all right? All right, well, you have to make it weird. It's because I talked about billy clubs earlier in the show. Is that why? I get it.
I'm going to stop.
Yeah, you should.
Because you should. Know, I'm just going to...
All your perverted jokes are getting old, Lonzo.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the radio broadcast, he is not only a 913-time South Carolina Sports Broadcaster of the Year.
Wait, last year.
That's 914-time.
There we go.
South Carolina Sports Broadcaster of the Year. He is also the voice of the pregame and halftime and postgame and every other show that matters surrounding the University of South Carolina Gamecock football program. He is friend of and off the show, Chris Miller, joining us here on the show. What's up, big dog?
Morning, Dust.
How we doing, fella?
I am super fantastic. It's Friday. That means high school football, and that means college football tomorrow. So, you know, I'm psyched.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And a big one, man. Let's just dive right in, buddy. You got the Ole Miss running Rebels coming to town this weekend. This is what I said earlier in the show, Chris, and I want your thoughts on it. This feels like a statement game to me for the Gamecocks. This feels like a game where Shane Beamer can say, look, I am coaching this team to be better week by week. It feels like a game where this team can say, look, we are not just a tread-on team in the SEC. We are here to compete. We whoop Kentucky, who beat Ole Miss, and we'll get Ole Miss too. This feels to me like a statement game, but the inverse is true. If South Carolina comes out in this game, especially with a week off, an extra week to watch film, an extra week to game plan, if this team's flat tomorrow, it sends a message the opposite way. What are your thoughts on the takeaway from this game, win or lose?
Well, first, we don't refer to them as the running Rebels. We refer to them as the Fighting Lane Kiffin.
Fair right? enough. The Joey Freshwaters in town.
Yes, I mean, Lane Kiffin, that's one of my favorite part about this entire broadcast that we'll put on is just the Lane Kiffin-isms that will come out. And they're fantastic. You see the way he talks. He's one of the great, in my opinion, personalities in all of college football, in addition to being just a great offensive mind. But, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. South Carolina, this is a game that is that opportunity. Because, to your point, they did have a bye week. I think Ole Miss losing is not advantageous for South Carolina, I think, because anytime any coach will tell you, you learn a whole lot more from a loss than you learn from a victory. And Ole Miss was, let's call it what it was, they were stunned last week. This was an Ole Miss team that was firing on all cylinders. However, Lane Kiffin had said in multiple press conferences that he did not feel the schedule so far had prepared them for the rest of the season. He made no bones about that, didn't hide it, said, look, we haven't played good opponents. So putting up all these gaudy numbers, and, well, they finally played a good opponent. And that's the thing I think Gamecock fans need to understand, how big of a win that was to beat Kentucky the way they did at Kentucky. Kentucky's a good football team. If you remember, they went toe-to-toe with Georgia the following week, just beat them lost 13-12, and then doing what they did to Ole Miss last week. So that is a statement victory, if you will, for the Gamecocks. But they have that chance again today, and or excuse me, on tomorrow. But I think for South Carolina fans, the focus has been, unfortunately, on the return of Juice Wells. I think that's where I see all the fans talking about Juice Wells, Juice Wells, Juice Wells. Juice Wells has caught 19 passes for this team. It's not like he's he'll catch a few passes, but this team is led by Trey Harris, a guy who's the leading receiver in the SEC by a long shot, over 800 yards receiving, nearly 50 catches through just five games. So, I mean, this is how this offense runs, but I get the feeling it's similar to the LSU game because there's so much buildup. You don't have game day here, but everyone's eyed this game because of Juice Wells, because they expected Ole Miss to be 4 or 5. And now that Ole Miss has lost, I think Gamecock fans, oh, man, this is a game we should win. This is a game that should be a W, especially because Kentucky beat this team. You know, everyone starts playing, as you said, they beat them, so we beat them, and we should beat them mentality. But, yeah, this is a game that Shane Beamer knows if – they want to take that next step, especially if they want to not just play in a bowl, but play in a good bowl. Got to take care of business at home.
I love what you said there. You pointed out Kentucky and the fact that we played a clip earlier from Danny Cannell who said, look, you played with all due respect because we love our Dens, but you were playing Furman and Wake Forest and teams that are not up there with the power teams in the SEC and the ACC, et cetera. But in all that credit to Kentucky, that's a team South Carolina beat 31-6, which, and I've said this 1,000 times on the show, Chris, the transitive property of football can bite you. X beats Y, Y beats Z, therefore X should beat Z. No, that ain't, if that was the case, we'd play four games a year and then we'd just say who beat who and line them up. But if that is the case and Kentucky is that good team that everybody's made them out to be, and South Carolina went to their house and put the hurt on them, that to me is why this game matters. Because if South Carolina comes out flat, gets punched, doesn't respond to Ole Miss, and I'm not necessarily saying win, I'm saying be in that contest for 60. If they don't, then all of that goodwill, it just kind of feels like the air would be out of the balloon at that point.
And, you know, for South Carolina, playing this game at home is such a big deal. Most teams in college football play better home, but there was a stat last year that said South Carolina statistically in the Shane Beamer era had the biggest difference of play. This is in terms of yard. They put some form of yardage, points, that type of stuff. Of any team, they played that much better at home than they did on the road. They were the best when it comes to the difference home versus the road. And I think that's just because it is a difficult – it's the most, in my opinion, the most underrated place in college football in terms of home field atmosphere. So I think playing that game at home is a huge boon for the Gamecocks, getting that opportunity to get them there. And I think they're prepared. I really do. I think that this is a team – there's a different aura around them this year because you don't have – you don't have Rattler. You know, you don't have Leggett, two guys that are playing in the NFL now that were the leaders of this team. We don't really know who the leaders are. I mean, your quarterback's a redshirt freshman. You have Rocket Sanders, who's your best offensive player, who is a transfer. Probably Debo Williams on defense is your leader, but he's a guy who's been a three-year starter at linebacker, and he's probably not a guy who's going to be a big NFL player. He may get on a roster, but he's not going to be a first, second, third, or even probably fourth-round pick. So you don't have that big name. So it's a bunch of guys that are out there with something to prove. And they were picked third to last in the entire SEC. So they know that. And their win against Kentucky, I think, has given them confidence. We can beat any team on our schedule. I think that's the belief. Now, I mean, going to Alabama next week that's a different ball game. But sans that, I think there's no team on their schedule that you go into that game saying, there's no way South Carolina can win this game.
We came into this year, and we asked our fan base here in the Upstate, Chris, what are your expectations for the team this year? Because to me, it's important to label expectations. That's the only way you can say at the end of the year, we succeeded or we failed. So the expectations for most of our listeners when we averaged them out was effectively bowl eligibility. Just get to 500. It's one of the toughest schedules in America. I think just about everybody labeled it that way. And this was one of those games that you looked at and you said, all right, if Ole Miss is reeled down and South Carolina plays above grade, like maybe they can steal an upset. To me, there is some level of success in the fact that we're talking about this game, a game in which the Gamecocks are an 8.5-point dog. And by the way, better number than it was 2 days ago because it was 9.5, which means there's public money on the Gamecocks here. The fact that we are talking about this game not as a go in there, play your best, be competitive, but this is a winnable game, or at least it feels that way from us on the outside, and I'm not always the most optimistic cat. That, to me, has some level of success. My only question is, does it matter if you don't come out and play that way?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, keep in mind that in betting circles, if you're a home team, you get 7 points in college football. So that means on a neutral field, the odds makers feel Ole Miss is a 15 to 16 point favorite against South Carolina. And, you know, that may be the case. But the expectations, I think, within this program have always been to be in the Final 12. I mean, if you talk to Coach Beamer, you talk to anybody in this program, they feel with the schedule that's presented, if they can get to 9 wins, they would qualify for the top 12. That is the thought. I don't know if that's the case. You know, I think they have to be the right 9 wins. And then those 3 losses, you have to be really, really competitive and, you know, lose by 7 points or something like that. But if you this is a game you have to have. If you want to have potentially that chance to be in the top 12, the college football playoff, you got to knock off an Ole Miss. You're going to have to hope Missouri is in the top 10 when you play them and you knock them off. You're going to have to hope Clemson's a top 10 team. You're going to have to hope those things where you present that resume to the college football playoff body that selects the top 12 teams where you can argue, look, we may have lost to LSU at home in a game that was on national television. We really should have won. Everyone agrees. But you've got to take care of business against Ole Miss. And this, I think it's going to be problematic for South Carolina, and here's why. Because Ole Miss throws the football at such a high level. South Carolina has gotten after the passer, but they've gotten after the passer because they've had leads in most of the games. And you look at what they did against LSU. LSU, they had a lead for 95% of that game. They got after Nussmeier. You look what they did against Kentucky. They had a lead the whole time, so they got after him. Ole Miss comes into this game. If they can keep it competitive, I think that – I say competitive. If they can stay in the lead or keep it even, South Carolina's pass rush is not going to be there. Ole Miss is a – I think a, you guys may – I was watching one of your shows a few weeks ago. You called Ole Miss a professional team. They are with you. When you look at their NIL endowment versus, let's say, South Carolina versus, let's say, Clemson – Ole Miss is double what everybody else is because they have old, old money. So they've paid the big money to get these players. So they're talented. But you give me Dylan Stewart, you give me Kyle Kennard off the end, you give South Carolina, you go up 10-0, I think it's a different ball game than LSU because I think South Carolina learned their lesson after the LSU game. You have to step on the throat. You can't let a team hang around like they did against LSU.
Without a doubt, Chris Miller joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I've said a couple of times this week, Chris, to me, those two young men you just mentioned on the outside, the pass rushers, I think that is a major part of this game. I'll tell you the truth. I had Jackson Dart labeled as one of my most overrated players coming to the year. I think he's good. I'm not saying he's not good, but I just don't think he's this, you know, Heisman vote getting guarantee that a lot of folks have made him out to be. I think you pressure the guy. I think you hassle the guy. I think there's mistakes to be made. And on top of that, you can't leave the secondary out to dry because it's a good one, but it's got some faults for sure. To me, this game in one is won or lost with South Carolina's defensive front seven versus Ole Miss's offensive line.
I think South Carolina's the best defensive line in the country, and that's obviously I'm some biased in there because I work for the Gamecocks. But I mean, you look at their depth. You look at what they've got in Dylan Stewart, Kyle Kennard, Tonka Hemingway, Boogie Huntley, Gilbert Edmond, Jules. I mean, they have name after name after name of high quality defensive linemen come at you. And I would agree, South Carolina's defensive line versus the offensive line of Ole Miss. But I think South Carolina has to do something offensively. We still don't know. We're told Lenora Sellers is going to start, but he's questionable, right? And that is supposed to be 50-50. So you have Rocket Sanders – You have Lenore Sellers, you have Jared Brown. That's your leading passer, your leading rusher, and your leading receiver as all 50-50 playing in this game. For them to win, they need all three of those guys. Robbie Ashford did great against Akron, but I don't think Robbie Ashford can get it done against Ole Miss. I would love for him to prove me wrong. I'd love to come back next week and say Robbie Ashford went out there and lit it up and have to eat my crow. But I think Lenore Sellers clearly gives you the best chance to be victorious. And you would think with 2 weeks off, because remember, he didn't play against Akron, that he's healthy enough to go. And it's going to have to be a heavy, heavy run game because, you know, football, you want to shorten the game. You don't want to give Jackson Dart and that Ole Miss offense. Specifically, you don't want to give Lane Kiffin. To your point about Jackson Dart, I think if any other coach was his coach, we would be talking about him for Heisman. We should be talking about Lane Kiffin for Heisman because he's the offensive mind. I think that I could stand in that offense and be competent at quarterback. And that's just my opinion. Lane Kiffin is the best offensive mind in all of college football, and he makes anybody. And look at Matt Corral. Matt Corral's not even – is he even still in the NFL? I'm not sure. I think he's out of the league now. But, I mean, that was a guy that was a third-round pick 2 years later, not even in the league because – Lane Kiffin had that offense.
Talking with Chris Miller. Got about a minute and a half left, Chris. Real quick, Juice Wells comes. You mentioned this. We talked about the fact that no game day, but to me, this is the game in the SEC. There's no Georgia-Bama. This is the one that I think has the highest stakes on it. Emotionally charged for us on the outside, I expect that Willie B at 3:30 on Saturday is going to be every bit a night game environment. Does that impact this team? Does this team have the mental fortitude to be able to put the emotions in the background, or do you think that they try to ride that emotional high?
I think they're riding. I think they love. They really enjoy the fans that experience. And I think Juice Wells, there's a lot of players on this team that were frustrated with how, not the fact that he left, but frustrated how he managed this team last year where he kept, I'm hurt, this and that, and sucked all that NIL dollars and kept it despite really just sitting out so he could play at a different school. And I talk about postgame. We've had every week fans call in and they say, man, can't wait for that matchup against Judas Wells against Ole Miss. So fans have been looking for this. This is a game I think I see you wearing Darth Brooks. It's like Darth Vader. He's returning, right? He's coming back to the place where – you know, he did so well. I mean, this is a guy that lit up the scoreboard for South Carolina 2 seasons ago. So they want to see him fail and fail miserably.
Without a doubt. Chris Miller joining us here on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. You will hear him on the pre- and post-game show before and after the South Carolina contest. This 3:30 at home against the fighting Joey Freshwaters of Ole Miss. Chris, my man, you are an absolute legend, an icon, a gentleman, and a scholar, sir. Thank you as always, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
We'll do it again next week. Chris Miller, just a dude, just a guy. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.